This sermon was recorded at Christ Church Overland Park, a congregation that seeks to be a people fully alive in God's kingdom.
Today's reading is from Daniel. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide, and he set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "Nations and peoples of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." Furious with rage, King Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, your majesty." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. The word of the Lord.
It is really fantastic to have Bishop Zach Nirinji with us today. Bishop Zach is the retired bishop of the Kampala Diocese in the Church of Uganda. He served as our bishop from 2005 to 2009, and so he and his wife Theodora would visit every year and spend a couple of weeks with us and really built some very strong relationships with people in the parish. And so he is presently serving as a visiting scholar at Fuller Theological Seminary in Pasadena. He's working on a book. He's got speaking engagements around the world. But we said, hey, if you're in Pasadena, then you have to come to Christ Church. So it's really delightful to have Bishop Zach here with us, and he's got a great message for us. So Bishop Zach.
Thank you very much, my dear brother Patrick. And it is true, those were amazing times together. Hallelujah. So thank you very much for inviting me. It definitely feels warm being back, feels at home. Thank you. And greetings, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Greetings from Theodora. She would have loved to be here. We have great memories of our times together and our family, and praise God for his goodness of sustaining us and seeing one another. So really delighted in the Lord. Let's pray together. Open our hearts, we pray, O Lord our God, to you. Open our minds to these amazing words from the Holy Scriptures. And Lord, turn our hearts to you, to who you are. Turn our hearts away from our idols. Lord, help us to see you for who you really are. Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Amen. Facing the fiery furnace, as we reflect on this amazing story, a story that I'm very sure you've had countless sermons. It's one of those passages in the book of Daniel that has been read and read. I still can remember when this was first opened to me as a teenager in the 1970s. So it's there, but I hope that today there is going to be an insight into this scripture that hopefully the Lord can open through me to you. I'd like to focus attention on the subtitle, Faith Seeking God. Faith Seeking God. The whole idea of seeking God has become for me possibly that which my faith needs to be all about. Seeking God. I've actually come to the conclusion that maybe the biggest question of our lives on earth is, who is God? I don't know about you, but the last 3 years, slightly more for us, but certainly the COVID lockdowns, and in my country, they were ruthless. Uganda had possibly the record of closing schools, the record, world record. We hold it. We closed our schools longer than any other country. And the devastation, I can tell you, loss upon loss. I'm sure what I share with you. And the struggle, I'm sure you know this, the church, what you've experienced. And so the puzzling questions, puzzling, troubling, and some truly existential questions. Shall we make it? Shall we survive? Isn't it true, friends, that times of distress and trauma focus questions? Hopefully, we begin to rethink the very questions we have asked. I have discovered in life that actually it's not the answers we give that matter most. It's the questions. It's the questions we ask. And I have come to the conclusion that maybe one of the gifts of distress and trauma, hard as it is that hopefully it focuses us to ask the right questions. Because you know, in those times we are faced with deep fears. We are faced with despair. Over the last 6 years, I have to confess to you that the biggest temptation of my life has been the temptation to despair. But hopefully through that, I am asking, hopefully, the right questions. So that's what I would like to invite us, because I think this is what this story is about. A dimension, a perspective on it. As we see these three Hebrew young men, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I think it has a message for us. Typically, the reflection on this story has taken us much more quickly into the fiery furnace. I'd like to suggest that possibly the bigger lessons for us is not the actual furnace time, it's the facing the prospect of a furnace. When you're faced with the prospect of a furnace, you know the context of this particular story. These three young men we see were with several other leading citizens who had been captured in Babylon after the conquest of Judah, when the armies of Babylon overran Jerusalem and the entire Judah and took captive these leading citizens. It was definitely a time of great distress and trauma. Nebuchadnezzar the king, a man drunk with power, drunk with the power of a vast and powerful empire. At the time, the most powerful of that particular region. And so evidently, like other empires, what does it characterize? What's the characteristic of Nebuchadnezzar's life? It's opulence, greed. Can you imagine the parties that Nebuchadnezzar would host? Hegemony, control. How? Through means of coercion. And so we can understand it was a violent empire. And we know, please bear with me, I shall not make reference to today's empires, but you live in one. Empires and their love for violence. So in chapter 2, we're told about a dream. A dream has nobody to interpret it within his vast array of professionals and witch doctors and so on. And it's this young man, Daniel, who tells the story, who interprets the dream for him. And the substance of the dream, as Daniel says to him, is that this vast, powerful empire is going to fall, and the fall is going to be mighty. Nebuchadnezzar listens to all this, and clearly, he's a man who is afraid. Daniel explains to him, in verse 45, part B of chapter 2, the great God has shown, the great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. Daniel says, this is sure to happen. So imagine you are Nebuchadnezzar, faced with this prospect. The great God has said. Well, what was his response? Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel, verse 46, paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense is given. Then the king said to Daniel, surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings, a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery. You would have believed, you are tempted to think that this is genuine. You're tempted to think that Nebuchadnezzar actually now has been converted, now actually believes the great God. Wait until you see how he responds. After Daniel has moved on, what does Nebuchadnezzar do in response to the prospect of the collapse of his empire? I'm going to suggest that maybe we need to spend a little bit longer with Nebuchadnezzar. We are very quick to go to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm actually suggesting today that maybe the more critical lessons for us. So you see, Nebuchadnezzar is faced with distress that is to come and trauma. He's going to lose all the power, all the opulence, what is his response? Chapter 3, verse 1. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 60 cubits high. You know the story. It's been read. He erected it. It was visible in the entire city. And then he commands everyone must worship. Nebuchadnezzar makes an image to be worshipped. What's the character of that image? If you read around it, it's clear. This is actually an image of Nebuchadnezzar himself. It is Nebuchadnezzar. So Nebuchadnezzar is inviting the entire empire to worship him. You know what I think? Is that we've castigated Nebuchadnezzar. We've given him a bad report. I'd like to suggest that maybe we are more like Nebuchadnezzar. Why? Because you see, this is Nebuchadnezzar. What's Nebuchadnezzar's imagination of who God is? What's his imagination? Nebuchadnezzar's imagination of who God is himself. And so, that which we imagine, we make. And it becomes the thing we worship. I would like us to think a bit deeper on the gods of our imagination, the gods that we worship. Now, I know we are in a church and we are very quick to say, no, no, we don't worship idols. Wait a moment. Maybe that which you've called the God, the Creator, the greater God, no, it's an image created in your image that then you worship. Here is a footnote. I wonder about this in my own country. I wonder about it here in the United States. Have we created images that look like us? That's the God we worship. So, how do these images look like? You see, Nebuchadnezzar's image is himself. We had a conversation with Patrick yesterday, and we were battling with what is here. And this sense that the culture of this vast country is grounded in individualism. And let me tell you the danger of individualism. It is this, that I am God. I determine everything. You even come to church and it's all about you. How do they work? In response to what is likely to be a violent end to empire, Nebuchadnezzar says, no, I defy defiance. I exert my power and authority. And he says this, anyone who dares the king will be dealt with ruthlessly. For you see, the gods we create, this is how they work. Three ways characters, if you look at this story, fear, instilling fear, 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 and more fear. What else? Those who defy this fear are supposed to be guilty. What does Nebuchadnezzar say? Anyone who doesn't worship is guilty. What's the answer? Violence. But together with guilt is shame. Isn't that what he does with these three young men? Shame them to the entire empire. This is how these gods work. This is how these gods work. They work with fear, guilt, and shame. I have thought about some of the gospels we have preached and the God they imagine. Please bear with me. Is it possible that our preoccupation with fear, with guilt, with hell, with shame, is that truly the God revealed in Jesus? I wonder about when you're faced with these tough times, maybe in the better times, what are the gods? What is God that you have imagined? Who is he? Who is your God? Now, Nebuchadnezzar is much more honest. He says, these gods are my gods. They are my gods. I control them. I tell them what they ought to do. And sometimes I listen to us. Sometimes don't we even say, he is my God. He is my Savior. He is my Lord. He will come through for me. What do we learn from these three? Nebuchadnezzar says, anybody. Nebuchadnezzar wants to work through fear, guilt, and shame. That's how those gods work. So, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, faced with this, they are summoned. And Nebuchadnezzar tells them again, you are going to face the violence of empire. Fear me. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. Guys, can you imagine this? Guys filled with power. Three young men who look like they have nothing to show for who they are. But these young people, they just simply say, oh, king, we have nothing to fear. We don't have to defend ourselves. This is not about us. This is not about us. And sometimes our churches have become about us. Sometimes everything is about us. You see, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it's like, no need to defend ourselves. Do you know when you face fear with faith? For perfect love casts out fear. And they say to Nebuchadnezzar, if we are thrown into the blazing fiery furnace, the God we serve is able. So, King Nebuchadnezzar, have no illusions. We know one who is great and mightier. Our God is able. He is the creator, the sustainer. He is vast. He is bigger than you. Much, much more. A great vision. And because he is vast, he is great, doesn't work through violence. And he says, if we are thrown into the blazing fire, we are not saying that God is going to rain upon you greater fire. This is significant. Is that this is not God who responds fire with more fire. He has the capacity to come with more fire, but that's not how the Creator works. As they say, he will deliver us. But if not, even if he does not, even if the Creator doesn't, he is the Supreme One. He is God who reigns. He does not do our bidding. You see, the images we create, they do our bidding. Even if, this is faith that seeks God. We will not serve your gods. Let's even put it differently. We will not serve any other gods. Even the gods that we have created. And this is the challenge, friends. It's a challenge to the imaginaries of that which we have called faith. And I am suggesting that maybe the gift of the trying and the hard times is they open us up to the images, to the idols of our time. So what happens? The evidence is amazing. They are thrown. No. Nebuchadnezzar says, oh, more violence. Multiply the temperature by 7. You see, they respond with more violence. And what does Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do? It's more like you don't even have to tie us up. We shall actually walk there. What then happens? They get into the fire. It is not that the deliverance of the God who created the heavens is by picking them out of the fire. They are in the fire with him. He is in the fire with them. The deliverance is not protecting them from the fire. The deliverance is in the fire. Friends, may God help us to see him for who he really is. Maybe the times of hardships and trial are the gift to us to open our eyes to our idols that love, guilt, fear, shame to the Lord and God, who at the cross, what happens to Jesus? Rather than, remember how he said, you are the Son of God, come down from the violence of empire, the cross. Instead, Jesus takes the violence of empire, nullifies it, and the resurrection is the story by which we live. Friends, who is the God of your imagination? And so, Lord, our God, help us, we pray. Because we know, we claim, maybe more like Nebuchadnezzar, to worship you. And yet it's images that we've created for ourselves. Help us, we pray. As we go through the tough times, Lord, we pray that we shall not be more entrenched with our own idols and images, but that we shall encounter you, O Lord our God, God who loves, God who walks with us in the fire. Lord, you know how we long for the fire not to come. Lord, you know how we long that you pick us out of the fire, but we pray that you help us to see the God who created the heavens and the earth. Fire is not an issue for you. Help us, Lord. Save us from our idols, we pray. Amen.